We are at the end of the 19th century, all over the world. I mean, in Europe, in Germany, in England, in France, in America. A lot of people are trying to animate the image, the still photography. Renault, Le Prince, Demeny, Muybridge, Skladanowski, Marais, and of course, Thomas Edison. In the summer of 1894, Antoine Lumière, the father of Louis and Auguste, goes to Paris and watches, assists to a demonstration of Edison's kinetoscope. He's very impressed. He goes back to Lyon to his two sons and tell them, you can do better. Try to get that image out of the box. February 1895, they register the pattern of what they will call the cinematograph, coming from Greek, which means writing the movement. The first film was shot on the 19th of March, because they shoot that film between March 15 and March 20, and all the other days it was raining. The only sunny day is March the 19th. So at 11, between 11 and 3, they shoot the first film. The history of invention stop there. History of filmmaking begins. March 19, 1895. We are Chemin Saint-Victor in front of the Lumière factory. The Chemin Saint-Victor has now become the first film street. Lumière put this camera in front of his factory and begs, orders his workers to go out. This is the first film, the first version. We know it because a journalist at the time described a bicycle, a dog, that you can see the dog, and a horse. The workers, mostly women, know they are filmed because they are not looking at the camera. Another version, shot maybe later on in the spring or in the fall. They are dressed in a different way, and they are becoming the first character of the first cinematograph film. The first character, I mean, is the crowd, the working class. I think it's very moving. The horse, the dog, two horses, a dog and a bicycle in that version. This is the film which was sought during 95 years to be the first film. And it's clearly shot in the summer. The workers are dressed more likely. The dog and the bicycle coming out. And you can notice the shadows on the street, on the pavement. No horse in that version. And the first version was discovered in Lyon in 1985. During June and the summer, Lumière did a lot of films with his camera, which was weighing only 4 kilos, and we could shoot, process and project. This is one of the films shot in Neuville. This is the Congress of the Photograph. It was shot on the morning and shown to the people in the evening, creating a big impression. And the news spread up, the camera of the Lumière brothers was working. This is called Baby's Tea Time. On the left, Auguste Lumière, the brother of Louis, on his right, Marguerite. On the extreme right, a bottle of cognac. It's a French baby. And behind, what impressed most the audience at the time, the leaves moving, the wind in the tree. The Lumière did the first film and the first remake and the first home movie. This is the first comedy. It's so well known that it doesn't have to be commented. It still gets a lot of laughs today, so you just must imagine what was the reaction of the people who saw it December 28, 1895, because it was part of the 10 films shown in the hotel script. This is called the card game. On the left, the father of Louis and Auguste, Antoine. In the middle, Mr. Vinclair, the father of the two daughters who married the two Lumière brothers, is serving and drinking in his own beer, the beer he's making, because he's a beer maker. It's the first commercial. On the right, a character who is, that Lumière introduced in many films, the waiter, who is overacting, let's say, and who is commenting the film to show that it's funny. On the extreme right, Félicien Trémouel, that we will speak of him later on. This is the first masterpiece. It was not part of the first 10 films shown on the 28th of December, and this is the first horror movie. It's coming of the train in La Ciotat, shot in the south of France. I mean, look at the use of diagonal, of perspective, the striking composition, very, very, very modern, and a great use of the black and white. Louis Lumière was a very good photographer, and he knew how to compose an image, and this is one of the first proof that of his immense talent, because what we want to celebrate in the montage is the Lumière, not only as inventor, but as filmmakers. This is Auguste giving orders. They are demolishing a wall. The film is called The Demolition of the Wall. And it was planned to be a documentary, maybe a little acted, but then an accident happened. Look. By rewinding the film, one day the film was projected backwards, and that created an enormous shock with the audience. Louis Lumière decided to use that accident and exploited the film like that in his later program. I mean, he was a filmmaker at that time. He was using all the accidents which was happening during the making of the films, and incorporating them in the next programs. A lot of the films they shot at that time were about the city in which they were living, my native city, by the way, Lyon. And those films are beautiful documents, historical and sociological, about the streets of a big city. And Lumière wanted always to shoot scenes taken in the streets. It was one of his obsessions. He was asking, when he sent operators all over the world, he asked them to go in the street and to film the daily life, bringing some documents which are of an immense value and of a great beauty. This is another part of Lyon. Again, you will see, in that very simple scene, a tremendous movement. I mean, calling his invention the cinematograph, which meant writing the movement, meant something for Louis Lumière. I mean, again, I mean, the movement is not frontal, it's not lateral, there is always a sense of the perspective, of the composition, of the diagonal, which allows the shot to be more exciting. And this is one of the first tracking shots coming in Lyon. The camera was on a train, incredible stability, and an incredible film. You will notice the depth of focus. This is the reverse of the previous film. It's another train coming into a station. They did a lot of films about train coming into a station, but you will see people know they are filmed. The people of the railway company will start overworking. I mean, on the right, another miracle, the smoke and a train. A very well-known game in Lyon, one of the most popular of the city, La Boule Lyonnaise. People know they are filmed, this time. They overact. They want to be taken seriously and look, for instance, on the bearded man on the right. The first newsreel film ever made. Another incredibly beautiful composition. Lumière had three subjects: the flood, the crowd, the horses, and the carriage. And he got them all in 50 seconds. All the film were 50 seconds long. They were 17 meters. And so he had to deal with the subject in that very limited time, and he got it there. A lot of the film that Lumière shot were about children. He was a family man, he was very much interested in children, and this is maybe the first suspense film ever made. No, it didn't. Unhappy ending. Another masterpiece. Another striking composition. And the cat, up! This is the proof that the film was directed. And in between that film and the painting of Auguste Renoir, between that film and the painting of Auguste Renoir, you can see the link. And this is, by the way, the first commercial for cat food. Another film about children. The kid in the middle knows he has only 50 seconds, so he is very energetic, very fast, and he does, in that little film, he does more things than Al Pacino during many scenes. Another very interesting camera setup, I mean, taking from a distance. In the previous film, you had seen nearly a close-up, and this time it was a medium shot and a long shot there, frame exactly at the coming of the train in La Ciotat, with the use of perspective and diagonal, and a very enigmatic film. I mean, it's called The Baby's Parade in Paris Nursery. It should be dedicated to W.C. Fields. And a little happy end. Look. Maybe Chaplin saw that film. a prequel to Jean Vigo's The Road Conduit. It's called The Pillows Fight. That film was shot in a studio, not on location. The proof that the Lumière were not only documentary filmmakers, but were interested in comedies, in everything which could be exciting and funny and entertaining. Film very different from the other one. Street scene. It's called Boys from the Street. They are playing marbles. It's a great document about the kids at the end of the 19th century. And it's again a very, very beautiful film, very powerful. Wild Boys of the Road. A lot of the film that Louis Lumière did were devoted to the friends of Sunday afternoons. People having fun, people resting, parades. This film is shot not far from the Lumière Institute, not far from their home, and you can consider it as a prequel to Butch Cassidy without the Sundance Kid. There is a great use of space and the modern idea of people going out of the frame, and, which is very interesting. It's a film dedicated to all the semiologists. We are near the Champs-Élysées. This is the first film where you see somebody filming, protected by a policeman. This is not a tracking shot. We are near a moving pavement, in fact two moving pavements, in the Universal Exhibition of 1900. Two different speed. Another film which is totally different from the previous film, which deal about with the depth of focus and again the sense of perspective. We are in Lyon now. It's called in French Water Toboggan. And look at the guy who is smoking first, because he's smoking, which is now will be becoming an oddity. And he is coming back once in the frame, then the film is a little bit too short, so he is asked to come back in the frame and to invent a little action in order to get the film interesting until the end. Now, this is a wonderful film. It's a training of the French army with the nicest horse of the history of the cinema, and by just seeing the film, you can understand why we lost so many wars. Look, this is a scene which was not directed by Jackie McKennett. The same group of soldiers, little later, I mean, practicing their special kind of humor. But the most important thing is the character on the right. Louis Lumière was afraid that the film was not going to be very funny, so he added that character who is commenting the situation and, I would say, slightly overacting. Even at the end of the film, he doesn't know what to do and he practically falls on the ground. And he becomes the subject of the film. This is another ball game, 50 seconds. So there is absolutely no rules. I mean, everybody is throwing the ball at which that makes the film very funny. But too, it's a very good document about the Lumière family and one of their many houses which they were owning at the time. Look at the. There is a guy who is trying to throw a ball from the beginning and he's always prevented. They are pretending to measure. Everything is acted in that film. And he's cheating. The first film about soccer, and which is mostly interesting because after a brief moment, the football will never be in the frame. So the film will become a kind of very bizarre choreography. And again, a film about the meaning of what it is, what is what we call in French the hors champ, the out of frame. La course en sac, the bags race. The people are the workers of Lumière's factory. It was a very popular game and sport. I don't know how you can call that. I mean, in those days, the character we are very fond of is the one who is just coming because he's the real loser, and we like him very much. And you will notice, attention, the end of the director coming in the frame. Another striking composition. I mean, it could be out of a Russian film of the 20s or out of a John Ford film. It's called The Boat Going Out of the Port. In fact, it could be subtitled Trying to Go Out, but you will see what happened. As in many Lumière films, there is a little accident which change the screenplay or the storyline or the idea of the film. The wave and the boat is thrown back in the port. The French army strikes back in maybe one of their best shows. And look at the guy in the middle, he will... look at the camera, and he's very, very much like Charles Boyer. Here are two films about a group of acrobats, the Cremos. They are very, very good, but the two films are very funny. Look, the kid is getting crazy there. And it's not finished. Not bad. And suddenly, the best part of the film, there. Tremendous action. In a few minutes. Another film, more spectacular and more patriotic, as you will see at the end. The quality of the photography is a little less good because it's not, the negative was lost on that film. With a French flag. Everything is done with a French flag. A lot of the films were devoted to the working class, to people working, like we are in La Ciotat, in the south of France. It's a factory where they are making boats. It's a shipyard. And in fact, they started the film a little too early because people are waiting for something to happen. And here comes the subject of the film arriving a little late. One of the strangest and one of the most bizarre machines of the of the history of the cinema, which is supposed an honor to work on the road, but it's rather incomprehensible. But again, the film is apart from that enigmatic meaning. The film again is shot with a sense of perspective, again, with a diagonal. I mean, Lumière and his operator were never filming in a lateral or frontal way. After the factories, the fields, the peasants, look at the first guy who is always looking at the operator to know where he must go. I mean, and he's totally paralyzed. Indication must have been given during the shot, because you will see the woman, she's going more on our right. The only people who are not following is the kids who do not give a damn. The French Navy, we are in Toulon, another unusual camera setup. The camera is very high and over the characters, and higher than most of the characters, with an incredible depth of focus. I mean, this is a film which, when it was shown in Lyon on the 19th of March, which impressed a lot of directors like Carol Rice or Stephen Frears. This is another factory. They are working on the coke. And what you have to notice in that film are the two levels in the image. It's like if there was two cinemascope films put one above the other. And it's, again, a striking composition. Very, very interesting, very unusual. And it's not only a great document about the working class, it's a very beautiful film, and an even more beautiful film. I mean, it's about France at work, so it means that the women are working, the men are not doing anything. It was a great time. and this time we have three levels, three cinemascope films. And the idea of putting the camera across the river and filming from far away is very, very beautiful, and it proves again the sense of composition of Lumière. This is a film which is by accident in that section in France at work, because nobody is really working. It's shot in Chambéry, not far from the Mont Blanc in the Alps, but it's a very, very beautifully photographed film. I mean, you have the impression of being in Spain or in Morocco. Look at the use of the white and the black. You just have to realize that those films were made 100 years ago. Another composition, very modern. Raoul Walsh was always talking about how to use the diagonal and the perspective so an action could be more interesting. This is a very good example. It's called the Stone Carver Horses, and he had 50 seconds to get the whole subject, and it's now we are 46, 47, 48, 49, and 50. It will be over. So, the journey throughout the world, starting from Lyon, first stop, Paris. We are not far from the Champs-Élysées. We are in the Champs-Élysées. A lot of traffic, and some people try to cross, to go through in the street, to cross the street, and it's impossible. One on the right, one on the left. They quit. They quit trying after a while. And look at the bicycle coming. I'm sure that Lumière was paying some people to send them in the opposite direction, to increase the movement. This is the first tracking shot in Venice, a photograph in Venice by an operator called Alexandre Promio, and he was so afraid that Lumière was going to yell at him that he apologized in his letter. On the opposite, Lumière was so impressed by the film that he asked all the operator, which he sent throughout the world, to do that kind of shot, which he was calling not a tracking shot, not a traveling, but a panorama. He asked the camera always to be on a moving, either carriage or train or boat, in order to get a view from a city. We are in London, the Empire Theatre. The Lumière, who were always interested by doing their own publicity, are filming the theater which is showing their film. I mean, their film were introduced by Félicien Trewel, which we have seen drinking beer with Antoine and Mr. Vinclair and playing cards. We are in Dublin. This is the Dublin Firemen. And the operator sent there fell in love with the firemen because he shot 15 films in Dublin and 11 were devoted to the firemen. But the film, again, is very, very, very well photographed and well shot. And I like the people coming back in the frame, very close to the camera, which gives, again, a sense of movement and perspective. This is, again, Ireland, but Belfast, and it's called The Big Ladder. And it's not only big, it's a rather bizarre ladder, and it takes a lot of time before being all worked up. I mean, I'm sure the house would have time to burn before. Because look what is going to happen. Up, little door, the ladder. And Berlin, Friedrichstrasse. The Panopticum, another cinema which was showing the Lumière films. It's a film which we gave to Wim Wenders when he came to Lyon. And it's maybe the first film shot in Berlin Street. We are not in Spain. Those are Spanish dancers, but we are in the Universal Exhibition, 1900, Spanish Pavilion. It's called the Flamenco. And one of the dancer look a little like Pedro Almodovar. Another film, a film about the Spanish army, which is totally incomprehensible. I mean, they are all dancing, but not on the same rhythm. I mean, look, it stops for a while and then it starts again. Look, two people are dancing the slow. It's an hilarious film. And we have been trying to find out the meaning for years without any success. What are they doing? New York. This is the opposite of the train coming in La Ciotat, but it's the same kind of composition. Again, a beautifully framed film and a very interesting document. Those films were shot in June 1896 by Felix Mesgisch. He had to shoot them very, very quickly before the people from Arthur Edison threw him out of the country in the Hudson River. So he had to swing back to his boat. This is Fulton Street. Again, I mean, the camera is put up at a place where you can see a curve, you can have a lot of movement in the shot. This is Broadway. I mean, all those films now are becoming invaluable documents about the life at the end of the 19th century. I mean, and not only they are great historical documents, but the look on the action is always typical of the time. Chicago, 5,000 policemen in the street, 4,997 have a mustache, 3 anarchists without, that I think the first one is coming there, and 2 other later. The film was shot by Gabriel Vert, and one of the most talented of the Lumière operators, and you will see proof of his talent later on. He shot that film too, Mexico. Another use of perspective, a diagonal, and the subject of the film, I don't know if it was intended to be that, but becomes that fight between the horses and the ducks. And look, the ducks are winning. We are in Moscow, Preskaya Street, and the film, the first part of the film is normal. It's like some Lumière film, and suddenly a character comes in the frame, in the shot, and becomes the center, the subject of the film, the guy looking at the camera. He's maybe an agent for the Tsarist police. He's very suspicious. I mean, he brings an atmosphere of suspicion in the shot, which is very, very strong. Jerusalem, the Jaffa's door, the Lumiere sent operator to in a lot of countries. Look, it's nearly a close-up by accident, but it's close-up. And look at the children on the right. The Lumiere sent operator to China, in Japan, Argentina, and a lot of them went in a lot of them in what was called the Palestine. I mean, the idea of Louis Lumiere was to bring the world to the world, which is a great concept. This is a very, this is an incredible film. I mean, the camera is very low, and the composition, the youth, the people, and I mean, the confrontation between the people and the camels and the Sphinx and the pyramid impressed a lot a director, an Egyptian director like Youssef Chahine. He thought that that was very, very, very modern and very strong visually. I mean, and you have to realize, you have to think about the effect of that such a film was producing at that time for an audience who had never seen the Sphinx of the pyramid. When we said that Louis Lumiere always put the camera at the right place, this is an exception. The film is not well framed. It's in Algeria, it's in Algiers, it's called The Muezzin's Prayer. And according to our friend at the Lumiere Institute, who is Muslim, this is totally made up for the camera. It's not a real prayer. I mean, it's acted. Two films shot in Turkey. This one is another example of the framing, of the movement in a shot, of a composition which has several levels of interest and of the depth of focus. You will see characters coming in the frame and walking just by the camera, which add to the effect. Look. And they are holding the end of each other. Another tracking shot, another panorama, Istanbul. It was a film which was discovered in 1996, and it's one of the masterpieces that the Lumiere did, which was unknown until very, very recently. French Indochina, Vietnam, a film which is not for animal lovers. They are boarding a cow. They are boarding a cow on the ship. And again, that was a film which created a big impression when it was rediscovered by all the directors who came in Lyon to celebrate the shooting of the first film. Smoking the Opium. Another unusual camera setup. The camera is very low. It's a shot which could be in a film by Ozu later on. And it's difficult to know what kind of lens they were using for that shot, because it doesn't look like a 35 or 40, and it's so composed and so beautifully framed. Indochina again, and a great comment about colonialism in 50 seconds. Two women standing in white, the kids, crawling on the ground in black. The women are throwing grains Sapek. And it's a very strong film, very powerful document. We were with Ozu a little before. Now maybe we are in Kurosawa's territory. We are in Japan. It's a film shot like all the film we just saw by Gabriel Vert. It's a real speed of the film. And the kid there with the gong doesn't think it's fast enough because he's striking the gong to speed up the tempo. And one guy is drinking during the whole film. Africa, but not really Africa. We are in the African pavilion in the Universal Exhibition, and the dance is called the Knife Dance. It is a proof of the interest of Lumière for the world around them, because they tried to show scenes from the five continents. They even sent people in Australia. This is a part of the work of the Lumière which is not very well known. I mean, they did not only film the daily life in the street, they did a lot of comedies and of entertaining film. This film is with two well-known clowns, Footit and Chocolat, and it's again a proof that Lumière was interested by all kind of subjects. Not only... He did not do only documentaries. He did many other things. This is the best part of the film. This is a very good comedy called Mechanical Delicatessen. And as you will clearly see, it's not really a documentary. It's a film which is still very effective in front of an audience and gets a lot of laughs. So, I mean, you just have to imagine the surprise of the people who saw that film at the time. It's called The Grotesque Roller Skater, but he's not only grotesque, he is grotesque, but he's too very, very good. And the humor is not, it's rather crude, I mean, let's say. Another bizarre film, the two women who are trying to do a mattress are played by men, like in Shakespeare. And it's rather difficult to figure the storyline. Not that this is simple, but there is a moment where a lot of things are happening. Look, everybody coming in the frame at the end. This is in a way much better. It shows a very, very good sense of space. The Lumière did a lot of comedies with the army as a subject. And look, on the right again, there was a character who was commenting the action and showing that you had to laugh, like in the scene on television now, where they tell you to applaud. This film is called The Music Lover Wood Sawyer. What you have to look is the seriousness of the acting. I mean, they are not playing like if it was a comedy. They are like in some later Laurel Hardy, playing very slow with a lot of sincerity, and it increases the absurdity of the idea and makes it much funnier. You see, the guy is sweating, it's a real work, and it gives a kind of truth to that comedy, which is very good. This film is a tribute from the Lumière to Georges Méliès. Look. Very effective, and it's a film which was totally unknown until a few years ago. The poor guy looks like Boudu in Jean Renoir's film, and it's one of the rare films done by Lumière which is edited. A version of Romeo and Juliet called The Lover in the Bag. It's another comedy, and it's again done with a set, clearly. Shot in a kind of studio, and the rather free adaptation of Shakespeare. What we call the Lumière Pass are all those marvelous films which you could find in the cinema 10, 15, 20 years, even 30 years later, like this very, very powerful film, very powerful images, which could be in the Russian films of the middle 20s. I mean, the camera is in the boat, very close to the characters, and it is a proof of the freedom of mind, the freedom of the artistic freedom of Lumière, who was doing all kind of subject and all kind of composition and framing. This is a masterpiece with a lot of action, a lot of movement, shot not far from the Lumière Institute. It's called The Snowball Fight. And look at the number of things which happens in less than 50 seconds. You will notice the photography is so crisp that you can see the shadow on the snow. All the shadows. We are in Azerbaijan, in Baku. The camera is, again, in a very well put in order to get the in a long shot, the feeling of the scene, and it has a great powerful impact. Look at the character on the bottom of the frame. That will give you the scale. Maybe the first ecological film ever made. This time we have again three levels, but three levels not above one above each, the other, but behind. You have on the first level, the first on the foreground, you have the people. Then you have the boat, which is like a screen. And behind the boat, a third level, another crowd. This is our favorite film, shot by Gabriel Vert. The camera was put in a rickshaw. We are in Indochina. And in that film, which is a miracle, has everything. The sense of time, of the period, the composition, the emotion. It's an incredibly powerful film. Look at the little girl. The film is absolutely perfect in 50 seconds, and it says thousands of things. This is another unknown Lumière film. It's called The Serpentine Dance. Edison did a lot of films like that too. I mean, it's not in color. I mean, it is in color, but it's hand painting. Women were doing that. They were doing a lot of things in the France of the 19th century. We are at the time of Loie Fuller, but it's not. She's not Loie Fuller. The Lumière, when they did their film, was very young. They were not those serious scientists that we know from photographs taken later on. I mean, you can see that in the film, The Happy Skeleton, which is not an animated film. It's a puppet, and it's rather funny, and it's another proof of the curiosity of Lumière, who was trying to do all kind of different things. Among those things, they were fighting for their own invention and doing films about that fight. So, some people put a poster called The Cinematograph Big Failure, and they put on that their own poster, Cinematograph Lumière, and as in many of the film, it will end up by a fight. They were talking about their film in their film. Very modern idea. This is Félicien Trewell, the man who introduced the cinema in London and who was drinking beer and playing cards with Mr. Vinclair and Antoine Lumière. It's called Writing Backwards, and he was really writing backwards. And it was the film which ended up that most of the Lumière programs and created again a big impression of the audience. But it's not, we are not closing that, ending the program by this film, like the Lumière. We have chosen another film. On the 19th of March 1995, we put a Lumière camera in front of what was left of the factory, and 40 directors came out, among them Youssef Chahin, André de Tos, Carol Rice, Myrna Sen, Stephen Frears, my dear friend Robert Parrish, Aki Korismaki, Jean-Charles Takela, Konchalovsky, Claude Sautet, Roger Planchon, Paul Vecchiali, and myself, and Jacques Deray, with the vice president of the Lumière Institute. And we wish you with that film a happy second century of filmmaking.